drama is called Ode to St. Cecilia, because I'm trying to explore the nature of inspiration, the nature of creativity, how creativity works within us as children of the Creator. Before we knew anything about God from Scripture, we know Him as Creator.
Welcome to Faith and Culture, a production of the Augustine Institute. Every week, we explore the glory of the Catholic faith and the beauty of Catholic culture. And now, here's the host of Faith and Culture, Joseph Pierce.
Hello, welcome to the Faith and Culture podcast from the Augustine Institute. And I have a good friend and an old guest back again. We've had him on various times because he does lots of exciting things. And this is Paul McCusker. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you, Joseph. It's good to be back.
And in previous interviews, we've covered your conversion story, your work with Adventures in Odyssey, and the audio dramas you've done for the Augustine Institute, including Brother Francis and the Trials of St. Patrick. But I'd like to discuss today the latest one you've done for the Augustine Institute. Would you like to tell us about that, please?
Well, yeah, after we had produced Brother Francis and Trials of St. Patrick, the question was, well, if we're going to do another saint, then who should that be? And we agreed that we were a bit male dominant. So we thought, well, okay, who among our women saints should we tell? I mean, whose story should we tell? And we talked about Joan of Arc. We talked about a lot of different options. We talked about some that were a little bit too internal in the sense of great stories, writing great things, but not compelling stories
at all. And Thérèse of Lisieux, that sort of thing.
And Tim Gray, our president and good friend, he's very artistic minded. And he surprised me because he said, well, we should do St. Cecilia. And I honestly didn't know who St. Cecilia was. And he said, well, patron saint of music, of the organ, but, you know, music. And I, like the others, I said, well, let me go investigate her story and see if there's a drama there or not. And the fascinating thing for me was not only the story of her life, as we could kind of delineate it from the historical records and legends and everything, but then I was struck by her influence after she had died. There were some fascinating things after her martyrdom, and things just happened, attributed to her, connected to her. And so I began to explore how to tell this story, but how to tell it that would not only be her story, but her influence after she had died. And the nature of audio drama, much like stage plays, and or really any medium, is if you're going to leapfrog through time, if you're going to bounce through not only years, but centuries, there has to be a construct for it. There has to be a way so that the audience can flow with it and get it. And having done a narrative style with St. Patrick, with him telling his story at this tribunal, I kept thinking, well, how am I going to tell her story? I can tell it in terms of her life as a Christian in this oppressive Roman period and that part of it, but how do I get all of it? And so I began to explore her impact and influence on artists after her, and found John Dryden's poem, his song for St. Cecilia, and written for St. Cecilia's Day. Her feast day had become basically the day for arts festivals around Europe and throughout Britain. And so I found his poem, but also then learned that he had influenced, that Purcell, Henry Purcell, had actually done something like this musically. Handel had taken Dryden's poem and turned it into his Ode to St. Cecilia. And then there was, and this was a key thing for me, was a statue sculpted by Stefano Maderno, who actually saw her when they were renovating the basilica, and they brought her body out. And what a lot of people don't know is that she was the first incorruptible. When she was found 7 centuries after she died, her body had no decay. Mm. When in 1599 it was brought out again, the cardinal at the time who was doing the renovation had Stefano Moderno come in and sculpt what he saw. Wow. No embellishment. It's what he saw.
Yeah.
This is, if you ever see the statue, it is poignant and beautiful and brought tears to my eyes when I saw it and thought, okay, I want to tell that story, but I need to tell the impact on Moderno. And then there was Dryden, who had become Catholic a couple of years before he wrote this, and what that meant to him and what he employed in not just telling Cecilia's story, but exploring the arts and exploring creativity and where does creativity come from? And then how did that impact Handel? So suddenly I had, across the centuries, Cecilia as a muse in the classical sense of an inspirational muse.
Yeah, I remember when you first told me about this, we were at the Chesterton Conference in Colorado Springs, and it was the first time we'd had, shall we say, a lot of quality time together. So we got to know each other better and what have you. And and I was astonished at how you'd managed to bring the story of St. Cecilia to that multi-dimensional life. I mean, as you say, the obvious, obviously I lack your bountiful imagination. You know, for me, I would have thought, okay, well, you got her life story and that's inspirational and the martyrdom. But the fact that she is the patron saint of music and then by extension, the patron saint, shall we say, of the muses, and then the way you've managed to sort of, if you like, bring in, you know, Handel and Purcell, so music, and then the music of the written word, literature, with John Dryden, and then the statue by Moderno. So you've really, what you've managed to do marvelously, and I'm speaking actually only from the concept because I haven't had the pleasure yet of actually listening to this, but just the vision that you've had of somehow telling the life story of this early Christian martyr in a manner which really brings to life her role as the patron saint of, shall we say, of the muses.
Well, and that was the thing. Tim Gray and I were talking about it and thought, well, maybe the simple thing seemed to be, well, let's go into Dryden. And we have a scene with Dryden where he doesn't really know much about Cecilia. And then in his finding out, we learn alongside. And I thought, well, to be honest, I've done that sort of thing on Adventures in Odyssey a lot. And I thought, if this is going to be about artistry, if it's about music and muse, how do I do something unexpected with that? And that's where the premise came from, which was borrowed, in a sense, from Charles Dickens, who used The Ghost of Christmas Past. So you have Scrooge standing next to The Ghost of Christmas Past looking at his past. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, a place in between reality, that's outside of reality, looking in on it. And then Dr. Peter Kraft had written a book, Between Heaven and Hell, in which C.S. Lewis and Aldous Huxley and John F. Kennedy, who all died on the same day, meet in this sort of in-between place to have this conversation. And those ideas came to mind, and I thought, well, what if I had Dryden and Handel and Stefano Moderno and then a fictional modern character, a composer named Benjamin Fiske, all sort of come together on this stage. I began to think of it as a stage play. If they were all together on this stage, like a rehearsal hall, but they're confused, they don't know where they are. And so this begins with them coming together from disparate times. I mean, Moderno was well before Dryden. Dryden was well before Handel.
Right.
Fiske would have been two centuries after that or whatever. And I thought, well, why don't we set the tone as being one of artistry and one of, well, something unexpected narratively that allows them to come together looking for inspiration because they're all working on something to do with Cecilia and then tell her story. And they're interacting with the story by way of watching it and commenting on it, which allows us then to talk about art in general and reclaiming Catholic art specifically.
Yeah, well, this is the very exciting thing for me. But can you try to explain? Obviously, you're not going to do it as well as the actual audio drama is going to do itself. But how do these artists in various media, many centuries after the actual life story of the saint herself, A, find inspiration from her life story, and B, find inspiration from that life story into actually making beautiful original works of art.
Well, and that's what the exploration is. Rather than preaching about it as a how-to, I realized as a writer, I'm doing exactly what they were doing. That's why the drama is called Ode to St. Cecilia. It's sort of my ode, borrowing from theirs, because I'm trying to explore the nature of inspiration, the nature of creativity, how creativity works within us as children of the Creator. And we say in the drama, before we knew anything about God from Scripture, before we call Him King or Father or anything like that, we know Him as Creator. And Dorothy Sayers was the one who pointed that out in her book on the subject. And I thought, okay, so the pagan idea, going back to Cecilia, explores creativity as being sort of an explosion coming from somewhere mysterious, a spark from somewhere, and then they would use it in praise of the gods. So all of these things begin, and I begin to contrast that then to, okay, what's the Christian view of that? How does it redeem a pagan idea like Paul did in the book of Acts on Mars Hill and those kinds of things? So even as I'm rambling through this now, you get a sense of the juxtaposition of ideas and exploration, yeah, of creativity, of artistry. Where does it all come from? When we're inspired, then what do we do with that? And all of this is sort of six parts of exploring that with Cecilia at the center of it.
Yeah, I just can't wait to hear this. It's really fired my imagination, but for me it's imagination upon a mystery, because I've actually experienced the work of art you've produced, except the commentary you've made about it. Mm. But one thing that the image that I've got coming here, that the metaphor, if you like, is what you've done with this audio drama, from the way you've explained it, is to look at how art and artists in whatever media are part of a living tradition. In other words, that, you know, that the Saint Cecilia inspires the sculptor, inspires the musician, inspires the poet, but also how these various people inspire each other. And also you have this fictional character. And of course you, Paul, as I see you, flesh and blood in front of me, are not a fictional character. Mm. And yet, of course, in many respects, it's you yourself as a living embodiment of that living tradition, himself being inspired in the same way as these previous great artists had been. It's almost a metaphor for the great conversation, which is Western civilization, and you somehow seem to have managed to encapsulate this in this drama. I don't know what you'd like to say about that.
I don't even know how to respond, because I don't know half of what you just said. But no, it is fast. That's the thing about it that I found so fascinating in tackling this and exploring it. Again, it's an exploration of the layers of how inspiration works and bringing it all together, because there's architecture as well. Pope Pascal, who then found her, was basically trying to create a beautiful place of worship centered around her as well. And so I touch on lots of things. Because it's an audio drama, I can't show these things except in the mind's eye and the imagination, mm-hmm. so I can point to it, reference those. But I could use sound, which is why Benjamin Fisk, as the fictional character, shows up. Because through him, we get the modern sensibility of music. So he references that. Then we see how he's inspired. I didn't want it to be simply about what Handel did. Anybody can buy a CD of Handel's work. I needed something fresh and original. So Jared DePascal, who is our composer on all of these dramas, rose to the occasion in a way that just surpassed any hope or expectation that I might have had. Because the climax, unlike the others, is not about her or her death. It's about her impact after that. So by the time we get to, you know, the last 10 minutes, we have to see and experience the fulfillment artistically of everything we've been experiencing up to that point. And so Jared, with, again, performances by Derek Jacobi, and I mean a great group of actors, we see something that's unprecedented. I mean, in 30 plus years of doing audio drama, I have to admit, we've never done anything quite like this.
Wow.
We've never even tried it
uh-huh.
because we didn't have the means to do it. And now suddenly I had the framework and the place to do and explore these ideas oh. the way we did. And so I'm excited about how it plays out, and I'm in many respects anxious to find out how people will respond to it
yeah.
because it's unprecedented in so many ways.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to listening to it myself, and it seems to me that what we see here, which again, to reiterate what I said, is a great new modern work of art inspired by these other works of art throughout the centuries, inspired by this great Christian saint. Paul McCusker, it's always a pleasure to have you as a guest on Faith and Culture, and we'll have you back soon to discuss Robin Hood.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith and Culture with Joseph Pierce. Faith and Culture is a production of the Augustine Institute. For more information, please visit us at faithandculture.com.